black tornado across the western sky, roping old blue norther and milking till it's dry. Bulldog the Mississippi, fence ears down flat, long before you take this cowboy's hat.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. Once again, text line, you want to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is hit me up there, 251-343-0106. Still to come about an hour from now, we do it every week, our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott, my state senator. We'll get a wrap-up of more of the Alabama legislature from him later on in the show. Joining us now, very excited for my next guest. Some of you, if you ever been to Panama City Beach, Captain Anderson's, his family been there as long as I can remember. But he's also now the congressman, at least for the let's say the western half of the Florida Panhandle. Some of them, we have some listeners over that way. But Jimmy Patronis joins us on the line. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Hey, buddy. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for coming on. And we'll get to the topic about Iran here in just a moment. But just talk about this, settling in to that seat and, you know, now representing as you know, we know the strong military presence there. But how are things going early on?
I tell you, it's great. And I tell you, the Alabama congressional delegation couldn't be more hospitable to me. You've got a lot of great folks that represent y'all in Washington, D.C. They're very effective. I know there was a number of us that we were fighting for the new Coast Guard Training Center to come down to Florida, but it ended up at the Birmingham Southern College campus. And, you know, just good hard work, and you had a facility that's going to be able to train the best and brightest for our United States Coast Guard. So your folks up there are doing a great job representing you.
Well, that's good to hear, and that's a high praise for our delegation. Let's start here, and obviously with the strong military presence in the Florida Panhandle, Pensacola, Eglin, I guess these military conflicts are not small potatoes.
No, they're not. But you could take it all the way from Huntsville all the way to Pensacola, to Tyndall Air Force Base, and all those installations in between. The success of the events at Epic Fury could not be what they have been if it wasn't for the training and expertise provided by those military installations. And then more importantly, is all of those families that are in our two states that are supportive of allowing their spouse, their husband, their wife, to be in this theater to make sure that Iran no longer has a nuclear weapon. I'm incredibly proud of the type of character, courage, and execution of the North Florida and Alabama members of our military.
Well, I'd say this. I mean, it's going, you know, by most accounts, very, very well. I think there was, you know, in any conflict, and you know, Congressman, we've talked about the possibilities of China moving across into Taiwan, or, you know, if the U.S. had to get more involved in Eastern Europe if needed. You know, had the military been tested? Were we in a place where we needed to do what we needed to do? And I guess, if anything, we know that now based on the success with Operation Epic Fury.
And you know, I think, look, desktop drills are good, but when we do have truly a real threat that has continued to grow and emerge in our backyard, the 4 years under the Biden administration gave oxygen, the billions of dollars in the settlement that the Obama administration gave Iran, and the arms deal gave it fuel. These things were not in the best interest for national security or global security, for that matter. Look, I'm not a globalist. I'm really not. I like to take care of our people, take care of our people at home. But they're just bad people in Iran. What they had plans and what they were doing and how they're going to retaliate, this has been developing for over 47 years. And ever since there was a change in that regime there, every day they've moved forward is to make sure that the Western world doesn't exist.
Well, and yeah, and like I said, getting back to the military preparedness, it's really changed going from Biden into the Trump era. I mean, we got rid of all the weird sort of social engineering woke stuff at the Pentagon, but and that's one thing, you know, we don't need to be doing things that people find, you know, culturally reprehensible or whatever. But you sense this, that there's a, and then you may could speak on this a lot better than some people, the morale seems to be better. Recruitment's up. I mean, is that kind of a fair takeaway?
Yeah, yes, sir. It really is. You know, no different in the military than no different in business. When I was a CFO for the state of Florida for 8 years, and I divested from BlackRock because BlackRock wanted to go out there and you know, socially have their political agenda using taxpayer dollars. And guys, I said, all I cared about is profitability on the bottom line. And those experimentations and policy were not generating the type of results the Florida taxpayers deserve. So we pulled out of BlackRock. This is no different with our military. We need the absolute best and brightest and most capable behind the stick or in the cockpit or pulling the trigger, not somebody that we need because we want a diversification of every type of person that could solve that particular mission's complexity. If they get there on their own and their merits, great, but we're not going to socially promote them. Those days are over under Pete Hegseth and President Donald Trump.
It's really what we needed. And, you know, I was a son of a Air Force veteran. We lived on Eglin Air Force Base, as a matter of fact, yeah. Congressman. And you know that you know as I got older, even during the Clinton years, and it was just it felt like we got out of the Cold War footing, and the military just wasn't. Was it something that a lot of people had on their, you know, possibilities for their future? And I feel like we turned a corner just now with Trump as president. It is something, and it's always been a respectable, you know, profession. But now it's something that you're not going to, you don't have to deal with some of the things that a Democrat administration had put in place, and it sort of had been a legacy thing for a long time with the new leadership at the Pentagon.
Well, and President Trump cares about results. And I tell you, the side of the president that people don't see is how compassionate he is for the folks he gets to work with and serves with. You know, they love him. He loves them. He's a family person. And it's not it's not about attacking somebody based on where they feel like they're in life. He just wants the best and brightest to do the job. And if you hustle and you perform and you've got results, then he wants you on the team. And, you know, I think he's assembled a good team. I think loyalty was a key part because he knew that he was going to have another bite at this apple to try to correct the things that were not right in his first administration. That's exactly what he's done. And what we're seeing is whether it be solving the wars of the world, you know, in some cases, this is why he needed the tariffs. The tariffs created the leverage for him to negotiate without having to fire a shot to get these guys from stop killing each other. He hates bloodshed. He truly does. And this is why this operation has gone so smoothly, because he is using the absolute best technology in the world to make sure that these bad guys are no longer a threat to anybody else.
Joined by Congressman Jimmy Patronis here on the program. Well, let's talk about the Iran operation itself. How much longer? What do you think? What is the desired outcome here? Where do you see this going right now?
So in a briefing that we had, you know, some of the things were non-disclosed, but one of the things that was kind of the Democrats were definitely questioning about that. It was a bipartisan briefing that we got. And then later on, a lot of those same questions came out in a public press conference. And look, it just depends on how this all unfolds. So part of the strategy is you've got the missiles and you got the launchers. Well, if you can take out all the launchers, then the missiles aren't quite as much of a threat. And so this is where the United States, Israel, and then as Iran has lashed out against every other nation there in the Gulf region, they're all retaliating. So it's kind of a twisted way. I don't think anybody saw the connected togetherness that all these countries have had, which hasn't always been the case, in the fact of dealing with Iran. So as Iran loses the ability to launch these missiles, that's going to shorten the timeline. The president's made loud and clear that he wants unconditional surrender. The minister of Iran's foreign affairs came out the other day and or earlier today and was kind of taunting the situation that we're ready for United States put boots on the ground. And I just don't see the president seeing that as going to be a solution. He'll bomb them to hell and back before he puts boots on the ground.
Congressman, I guess, you know, something we have to talk about when it comes to this, and especially with the midterms looming, I mean, this impact on the economy, and I think a lot of it is contingent on our ability to protect the Strait of Hormuz, getting the oil to market coming through there, and the threat that it could pose to Iran. There's a lot of speculation out there that's in danger, that's in peril, and it's causing the price of oil to go up. And we know as the price of oil goes up at some point, it's going to cause the price of gas to go up. But I think it's a military objective. That's got to be at the top of the list, making sure that's secure.
It is. And so that was anticipated, that there was going to be a spike in oil every time there's any hell, every time there's there could be a hurricane off the coast of South Africa, the industry is going to say, oh, we got to raise oil prices. You know, this type of speculation that ends up ultimately hitting at the price at the pump, it gets frustrating. So, again, president and OPEC leaders were proactive, saying, all right, we already know this is going to create some anxiety in the energy markets. Those OPEC nations already started increasing productivity literally the same time that the conflict was taking place. So again, it's a way to offset it in order to try to keep those providers honest. And you know, we don't get much oil from the Middle East, but Asia does, and it's a global commodity.
Right.
So I mean, as that part of the world is starved of oil, you know, or has some challenges in oil, it's going to affect the global price. But again, I think with the president's resolve, nobody wants to see a long duration war, especially this president.
Well, let's talk about the politics right now. You know, later this year, we'll have a midterm election. What's the mood among the caucus? Obviously you're going to be fine, and you know, most of our delegation here in Alabama should be okay, barring some kind of redistricting decision, and things could really change. But what's the outlook there going into November?
Yeah, we've been getting briefings on all these various races. We've got seats all around the country that they're not really a Democrat seat. They're not really a Republican seat. They're kind of in the middle. They're kind of purple. And those seats, what the Republicans have going for them that the Democrats don't, is the Democrats have no message. We are starting, at least in my opinion, this is why the One Big Beautiful Bill was so critical that we get it passed as soon as possible. Trump learned during the first administration with the tax cuts that it took too long for the benefit of the Trump tax cuts to get down to every dinner table in America. So this is why we had to do it so much quicker than no tax on tips and no tax on overtime. You're starting to see where those are making a difference. You're going to really start to see it after tax day as people start to get their refunds and as those dollars start flowing back in the economy, giving some people relief. You've had, you know, a lot of relief at the price of the pump. Yes, you have had the incident that has happened here with Epic Fury. But then you've had the president go and engage also in getting stabilized normal relations with what Venezuela puts as an output. All these things do not mesh together overnight. Those systems have to calibrate based on these new introductions of volume, and those, it's no different than those new dollars hitting the household are going to start to create relief at the point of the scanner at the grocery store. So It's not going to happen overnight, but we're going in the right direction. And in my opinion, the Democrats have nothing to offer except Trump derangement syndrome.
Yeah, and, you know, the other part of this, I mean, look at the Trump administration to date. We're a little over a year into a second term here. But, you know, so much of it, maybe it just it won't move the needle enough in the midterms. But you got to look at the border, I would think. You got to look at some of these other things that he's done. And maybe you could try to message and make that part of whatever efforts to try to win some elections in November.
Well, and just this guy being in the White House, do you think these Central America countries are going to start to be as aggressive in releasing their prisoners from jail? It's part of what the president's done with this new shield of protection over the Latin American states. He is trying, you know, he's going to put Kristi Noem over there. And the whole point is we've got all these Central American and South American countries who have a economic relationship with the United States. But by God, we should be more unified when it comes to what I think is one of our biggest threats, both economically and also in a concern of just our safety, is with China. So we're going to start to work together. I got outreach when I was CFO from Caribbean countries that wanted to do more memorandums of understanding and trade with the United States because they didn't want to have any dependence on China, which was on the other side of the world. So all this stuff is part of President Trump's vision for the northern and western hemisphere. We need to be more collected together, and at the same time, keep your bad people in your jails, and, you know, let's make sure that we all have prosperity in this part of the world.
Congress, we got to leave it there. We're out of time, but hopefully we could get you on again real soon, but thank you for coming on this morning.
Yeah, thank you. Y'all have an amazing week, and thank you for having me.
Thank you. That's Congressman Jimmy Patronis from Florida there on the program. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Now, it won't mean you're weak if you turn the other cheek. I hope you're old enough to understand. Son, you don't have to fight to be a man. There's someone for everyone.